It's that kind of thing where I'll just take you by surprise and go, oh, now we're
Right.
recording, because now we are recording.
Okay. We hear about Dr. Strickland. We know a bit more about him.
Yeah, we get a different view of him and more about
He's.
Mao himself in this episode. Yeah,
Yeah. One
quite an
second. I'm going to take
interesting
off
one.
this ridiculous background a
What's
second.
ridiculous about it? You're not at the beach.
I'm not at the beach.
Oh,
I've been
you had us
lying.
fooled, man.
What? I'm
You had us
sorry.
completely fooled.
Revealed.
Can't
No, it
believe
was
that here.
CGI all along. CGI. It was yeah,
Chris
CGI.
graphics.
See, I'm
Something. Oh, shit, I wish I thought about that before I opened my mouth now.
kind of the opposite. I'm not actually in a shitty, awful, depressing room. I am at the beach.
Yeah, same here.
It's just
The
the
trick
background.
with yours, Drew, is the lighting to make it look all dark and
Exactly.
dingy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's more convincing that way. Yeah. So
I'm kind of
you're jumping
curious,
ahead to that
like,
bit then, okay.
well, isn't that the first bit? Isn't that the first bit?
I don't think so.
I'm
Is
just looking at
it?
credits and then I'm looking at
Oh, okay.
Dr. Strickland. So one thing that's
Oh,
curious
it's
about
just
this,
listed here in the wrong order then. Sorry, my apologies. I take it back.
is that
Sorry, I'm still trying to think of an eye for Chris graphic something.
Jules Pierre Mao doesn't seem to know that Dr. Strickland is abducting kids for proto use.
No, that's the other thing. We find out. I mean, we missed a couple of things out of the last episode because we were very fuzzy last episode. I feel like we were. I think all three of us were half asleep. But we'll come back to anything that matters. So it seems that they either used some sort of mechanical thing with the thing or adults. I mean, I don't even think they used adults. I feel like they used animals or
Or just from
robots or
scratch.
something for the previous and just going by the way they talk about it. Because
Although at the beginning of at the end of season two,
it
like
does call them
the
hybrids.
he does call them hybrids. That is a giveaway.
But
But
obviously he's
also,
not used
like,
the children yet, is what we find out.
yeah, it sort of. But then at the end of season
Well,
two, it looks childlike, right?
I thought hybrid of just child plus proto molecule. I thought that was the hybridization.
That's
Well,
what I, yeah, that's
that's
what
what
I'm
they're coming
thinking.
up to
Okay,
now,
I thought
but
you were implying
previously they
something
didn't
else.
use children, though. We find that out in this episode. Because he's
Yeah, but
saying, oh,
then
I think we should use children,
it still comes across very childlike, like
yeah?
in at the end of season two. Like I don't, so it
Well,
seems
that's
like
why I
it's.
said maybe it's an animal, or maybe it's mechanical, biomechanical, and that's what they made some sort of robot with the the proto molecule hybrid. It's a bit
Well, maybe. Well, I mean, the fact that you're stroking your chin indicates that this isn't necessarily cleared up.
No, I honestly, I never picked up on that they say. I've watched this episode probably like seven times at this point, and I didn't pick up on that. So,
I'll be
Okay, my
honest, it wasn't what
suspicion.
I wasn't I didn't pick up on that until this as well. I knew that they hadn't used the children yet, and that's why we were being all poker face and stuff with the May thing. And we knew May was still alive, so for the couple of episodes where you didn't know, we did know, obviously. But it's strange. I can't quite, because he calls them hybrids, but hybrids of what is the question?
Okay, I'm going to put my chips on adults.
I'm not sure if it gets answered, to
I
be
don't think
honest,
I
because
don't think
from
I
now on,
don't
this
find
is the
out, yeah.
project, it's what we've
No,
seen,
no.
so
But that's what I'm decide that's what I'm as you know.
That's where I would lean as well, yeah.
Could be
Because
animals, but then it's very
remember the
humanoid.
it knows enough to take the thing out of its chest, to take the self-destruct thing out of its
And they
chest.
do refer to a control command and control mechanisms as well.
So I'm
Which does,
not convinced it
yeah.
isn't some sort of robot that they've infused with,
It could be a robot.
but we don't know is the
Could be a
short
robot,
answer.
could be person, but it seems humanoid. Like I feel if it was a robot, it might be a little bit more. What's the opposite of anthropomorphizing? Being a furry.
Anthropomorphizing is making things humanoid, yeah.
The other way, making things
I'm
like
not
if they
sure.
were using animals, it wouldn't be like a humanoid.
Well, like, it does run on all fours a lot and stuff. It's very hybrid.
Wouldn't have a people face.
It wouldn't have a people face. It doesn't even look like a monkey or anything human-like.
It looks more like a
comprehensive school head teacher or something. That's what the face looks like.
Okay.
No, I see that.
Sorry. Just some old trauma there that just like fell out.
Whoops. Yeah, it came out, you know.
Speaking of old trauma, this is entirely trivial, but the name Strickland just has strong Australian vibes for me, and I think there must have been like a person or a street or something called something Strickland in either Neighbours, Home and Away, Prison Cell Block H, or like Shortland Street, or which is New Zealand.
Round the Twist,
yeah. I swear there was a Strickland in something Australian at some point.
Great theme tune, that show.
Possibly the best theme tune of anything ever.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that I can remember it, like, probably the best part of 25 years after I've last seen an episode.
It's just...
The show, I don't remember a thing about the show. I remember...
I remember bits and bobs.
I had one, you know, those YouTube rabbit hole nights that you sometimes, you know, you get.
Yeah.
I went down a YouTube rabbit hole looking for remixes of the Round the Twist theme tune.
I actually watched a few episodes a few months ago.
Have you watched the end of Biker Grove?
Oh no, you told me about that a while back, didn't you? Yeah, no, I've got it. Yeah, oh my god,
that's a good Space Virgins talking about the end of Biker Grove. I bet
we'll just do a Biker Grove watch through.
Wait
for the bit where Ant and Dec get blinded.
Yeah, to be honest, I was thinking about this the other day. There's a podcast. I'm not saying we should rip off this idea, right? So hang on. Are you familiar with the Hawk Tour Girl?
No.
I don't think Hamish would be. You're not. Okay, maybe. So she's like a meme celebrity. She was on like a local TV news interview or something, like a man on the street kind of interview. And he said, what's the secret to a successful relationship? I think I'm like half remembering this. And she's just like someone out of the crowd. And she goes, Huck too, and spit on that thing, like in a sort of Southern American kind of way. And Huck too.
It's onomatopoeic.
And so she had this like 50 minutes of fame and started a podcast. And so she's quite like a meme personality.
Yeah.
But there's a podcast that reviews every episode of that podcast.
Wow.
Right. Oh, I see. Right.
So it's.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Well, given that, the next Space Virgins should be us watching and reviewing this.
Not our own podcast. She's not reviewing her own podcast.
No, I know, but that should make it even more. Even more, yeah. And then we can just do that forever.
Even more incestuous.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right. The best information I can find is that it's humans all along. It's humans and proto-molecule.
Humans all the way down.
So I reckon it was just adults.
Well, we have not seen any animal. Yeah, they don't keep animals on Ganymede, so it'd be weird to use animals.
We don't know that.
Wasn't there a lot of sheep somewhere in something?
Whales.
I don't think they're sheep.
No, I meant on an episode.
Oh.
Proto sheep.
I'd love to be a proto sheep.
Okay, so sorry. Why? I don't know. What would proto sheep? Would you then be when you could shear it, and then you could have a proto coat,
glow in the dark wool, blue glowy wool jumper. That'd be great.
Yeah, do you reckon it would repair itself or be bulletproof or something?
Yeah, all of those things, yeah.
Yeah, everything.
And allow you to time travel.
It could be like, have you seen the film The Tuxedo with Jackie Chan?
No.
I don't think so.
Or maybe once or something. Mate,
is it one of his older ones or one of his
American ones? It's one of his American ones, so it's not a good film, right?
Yeah.
I'm just putting that out there. This is not classic Jackie Chan in like, was it twin something or other? Where there's two Jackie Chan twins, and one's like a fighter and one's like a chef or something, and it's great. No, but so hang on a minute, where did I get Jackie? Oh yeah, the tuxedo. So basically Jackie Chan discovers this rich man's tuxedo.
No, I get you. I got it.
I was trying not to interrupt Chris, but he's spotted it again.
Oh right, okay. Is that a Okay, never mind. So he discovers
this. I'm getting a message in my ear, but I'm not very good at ignoring it while I'm trying to speak, so I'll just carry on.
This just coming in, breaking news. Carry on, Chris.
Okay, thank you. Back to me. Okay, Chris, thank you. So Jackie Chan discovers this tuxedo that... sorry, it's Hamish's actions. They keep distracting me. Oh, you're the downfall of this podcast. So he discovers this tuxedo that can give him like spy level superpowers, like, you know, James Bond. And
oh, I might have seen that actually.
Caught red-handed in the roller coaster.
It's the way the camera just went, ha! Gotcha!
The more he tries to be discreet, the harder it gets. Oh. So anyway, yeah, this anecdote is not worth the sidetrack.
No, keep going.
Keep going. You've got to do now. You can't stop.
So Jackie Chan finds this tuxedo, and he puts on this tuxedo for some reason. I can't remember why. And then he gets all these superpowers that are developed into the tuxedo, and then he stops the bad guy.
Oh, I thought you were just going to say it was bulletproof or something.
Oh, it is bulletproof, and it has gadgets.
Isn't that a very similar premise to...
What's
the name of the actor who plays Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Ewan McGregor?
No.
Alec Guinness.
I'm disappointed. I expected no better of Chris, but hey.
I know.
There's an Alec Guinness film called something like The Man in the White Suit.
The Man in the White Suit, yeah.
Yeah,
that's got... Sorry.
I think Ewan McGregor's a good Obi-Wan
Kenobi. Yeah, it's good at Obi-Wan Kenobi, but I feel... But then, you know, I'm just...
No, I feel bad because, like, Alec Guinness is no longer with us. God rest
him. When I was younger, people used to tell me I looked like Ewan McGregor. That's how far I've fallen.
Well, since we're on silly things, when I was at college, there was a kid at college who looked just like James Stewart. I mean, he didn't see it. He didn't believe me, but I was like, I took a picture of him and showed people and go, is that a picture of James Stewart? And I'm like, no, this is a guy that I know. And get this, for other looky-likies, in a band I was once in, the guitarist looked just like James Dean Bradfield from Manic Street Preachers. I mean, literally, you would have thought it was the same guy. I mean, like, you know, because I'm not, I guess, you know, sometimes I'll get like, oh, he looks a bit like whatever. But, you know, occasionally you see something, you go, that is like, and he did look just like James Dean Bradfield. It was fucking freaky.
I wish I could do a Jimmy Stewart impression, because I like the idea of people going up to him and going, you Jimmy Stewart? And he's like,
I know what you're like, saying, yeah.
Oh shit, I've gotten into my lighting fucking rabbit hole again, haven't I? Sorry. It was acceptable.
Stop. That's all right.
Yeah, it's lovely.
That's fine.
Yeah. Okay.
That's good. Yeah.
Sorry about that. And I apologize to the folks at home too.
No, that's all right. I apologize too for all the shenanigans.
Folks at home is very BBC. I like it.
No, the viewer.
Yeah, I just...
Or the listener.
The viewer. Oh, yeah.
That's the thing from the BBC, in fact. It's like you're only ever... Your audience is one person. You always speak to the viewer or the listener.
I like that. The audience.
Should we...
Not the audience.
No.
Or the listener.
No, audience.
Oh, the audience, right.
So then he's got
some children.
Yeah, so he's got some. Yeah, so like it's kind of a weird thing to go off piste and disguise yourself or pose yourself as a pediatrician to take kids without a consent from upstairs, right? Without authorization.
It's borderline like Cruella de Vil.
Yeah.
Level of indirectness. Yeah.
I understand why this may happen, but I don't get why.
Jean-Pierre Mao is distracted a lot at the moment by all the things going on. You know, they're after him. I mean, he's basically in hiding.
Yeah, so you decide to kidnap children in his absence.
Well, exactly. I mean, they do say that whatever genetic that these children have got. There's something in that that
yeah, there's something in the genetic disease that matters. Yeah,
that he thinks will allow them to control the proto molecule, which
yep,
yeah.
We also meet the kid of the other kid.
We do.
And I, oh my god,
Katoa.
What's his name? Katoa? Katoa?
I think so.
That sounds Katoa. About right. It yeah, is yeah. And he's got proto running through his veins.
He's had an injection yeah. of it already. Yeah.
And so are we. So
he's infected.
One person's infected is another person's like X-Man. As in a single X-Men.
I mean, yeah, no, from
I
him,
know what you meant when you
view,
said X-Men. I got that.
He's kind of getting, he's getting superpowers, right?
Yeah, I reckon so. Cool. Like, it seems so, right? Getting superpowers? Yeah, like that. I mean.
And so the thing we didn't clarify, this is one, I've just remembered one of the things we didn't get into last time, or we mentioned we didn't quite. The base is on Io. Presumably the far side from Jupiter. I don't know, maybe it rotates with it. I'm not sure. Point is, it's on Io and it's a former helium extraction or it's a helium 3 refinery. That's what it was. Helium.
That's the one, yeah. Because I like helium, I guess, is all over the solar system, right? It's just the refining that probably requires the work. Or you know.
I think helium 3 is potentially useful in fusion or something like that.
Oh, right. Helium 3. So that's like H3.
H3, yeah. Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, cool. I don't know much about H3, but.
Don't know much biology.
What I do know.
It's a light stable isotope of helium with two protons and one neutron.
Do you want to hear a chemistry joke?
Yep.
Two chemists walk into a bar. One says to the bartender, "Can I have a glass of H2O? The other asks for a glass of H2O2. The second scientist dies.
What's H2O2?
Poisonous.
Poisonous, yeah.
No, but what is it?
I don't know.
I thought he was actually asking for H2O2, not H2O.
As yeah, he was asking for H2O2
as well.
That's funnier. It's funnier now. I understand it.
I appreciate this.
It's hydrogen peroxide, incidentally.
Ah, okay.
I couldn't remember which one it was either, so don't worry. it's late at night, you know.
So I'm keen to see what this these. So there's a few of them as well. So they're talking about this rare genetic condition. Do they use the term rare? But it's like, when they say rare, they mean specific to Ganymede, right?
For no, they say one both things. Another. They say it's quite rare, but also it only happens on Ganymede.
Yes. So they probably... So I get why he's a pediatrician, because then you can basically skim all of the children to see... And because they're probably born with it, right? Then...
Maybe it's Maybelline. what's going on to us with us?
I've got to say, for me, the specifics of what's happening to the children and all that stuff is the least interesting part of this episode for me and the least interesting part of this arc. And also, I think this is arguable, but I think it robs a bit of drama. Now we know that May's for now safe. I think that robs a bit of uncertainty and
yeah, I'm not sure why they sort of filed her away and then unfiled her so soon, basically. Mm. It's a bit of an odd thing.
Yeah.
I think it was more because they wanted to join Pierre Mao, Jules Pierre Mao's story with it and tie it into the war and the things that the Ehrenreich's up to and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it was just a kind of a.
They could have got away. See, they could have just cut the scene where he's filing away the children, and it would have made a lot more sense. Mm. It's the thing is he's filed them away at the end of season two, and then unfiled them at the beginning of season three,
because
that's obviously a serious filing facility.
And we lose the tension. We lose the tension, and the from Praxis' point of view, doesn't know, and like we know, so it's like, well, you know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't hate it or anything. I just think it's the least interesting part for me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just curious about the proto boy and presumably proto girl and proto children.
And she's very cute. May is very cute.
No, she is. It's very like they picked like one of the cutest kids they could possibly could to make her to make you feel bad for mad scientists doing experiments on her. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, and like they're all because everyone else is like very like even Mao in this looks like pretty. Do they have to have the underlighting?
I know like, Mao lighting looks like
he's got a good face. He's got a good face. He's got a good face for that.
Yeah, yeah. His eyes. I mean, yeah, yeah. Eyes.
This humanizes Mao somewhat. Like clearly.
Oh, right up until he says, "Yeah, do whatever you want."
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But that's for contra. But he's clearly thinking about Julie. He's just lost his daughter. He sees something of Julie. Well, he literally says, he sees something of Julie in May, and like you know, like that's yeah. But then he's like, "Yeah, fuck it, do it, mate."
Yeah, I lost a daughter. Everyone should lose a daughter.
Yes, exactly. The daughter tax.
It's the daughter tax. Yeah, it's like the Moses times. Is it Moses?
Not Moses, but it was Jesus times.
Was it Jesus times? I thought it was earlier than that. I thought it was Moses times.
That's why this campaign.
Moses was heading to, he was
hidden in the rushes. Yeah, to stop the. Oh, you might be right.
Yeah, was it Herod? It was Herod.
That's the one.
Herod was the Jesus one.
Right. He was also was Herod also killing firstborn sons?
Yeah.
Right.
Could be more than one Herod.
Well, there was, I think.
Yeah.
Herod's a real historical figure.
Hmm. Yeah.
So, but like, imagine those days. Like Jesus. imagine being that powerful that you could just say, like, firstborn, everyone, on the back of a prophecy.
I wouldn't be a fan as a firstborn.
A force, yeah.
Yeah, I'd vote against that.
I'd vote against that. But like, you couldn't do that nowadays. It's woke gone mad, isn't it?
Well, no, it's fair enough. Like, the legitimacy of elections. I'd vote against that. And if my side lost, it's like fair enough. That's democracy.
Yeah, that's it. Just get over it.
Mm. Yeah,
It's a bit like the Democrats in the States, isn't it? It's like they finally got around to actually outing Donald Trump as a fascist, but now they're just going to politely hand over all of the reins.
Okay, he's a fascist, but democracy's democracy, so yeah, we'll just let him be in charge for 4 years. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, clearly you definitely thought he was a fascist. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So
anyway,
okay. I know who the irritating character of the episode is.
Yay!
Speaking of
obvious... Wait a minute. What? Is this something you two have talked about?
No, at the end of last Space Virgins, Drew said something about there's a character that he unrationally dislikes in this one.
Ah, right. Well, see,
it's complex with her. It's not like DeGraff or Stupid Woman.
It's not complex.
Where they're just,
she is
where they're just
awful.
Because she's
about
good.
The good reverend?
She says good things. She's nice and good and says the right things and is making points that I agree with, but her whole manner is evangelical Christian and I fucking hate it.
Mm. It's she's got J.K. Rowling vibes, if I'm honest.
I can see that, yeah, yeah.
Now, there's an evil person that I would never fancy.
Yeah, oh, yeah, no, no.
No.
No, no, that's the wrong kind of evil. And also...
No, that's the pathetic kind of evil. That's the weasel evil. You know, like Priti Patel owns it. You know, like Nicki Minaj, who's a person who's a bit dubious at times, but I mean...
Also, J.K. Rowling, I just feel like, and a lot of people like her, she just said something stupid once and she had the choice of doubling down or backing down, and she chose doubling down, and her whole path has been set at that point. She could quite as easily have just gone, yeah, fair enough, and then this would, she'd still be adored.
Oh, but now she's in with Graham Linehan and
oh yeah, no, she's an absolute piece of shit.
If you read about the Graham Linehan stuff, he went to a specifically well-known queer pub.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Caused trouble and got turfed out. and then went, oh, right, well, I'm taking you to court for not letting me in your place, blah, 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 whatever bollocks it was.
It's these fucking cunts. The
and I mean, he blames pathetic. Everything but himself for his marriage breaking up. It's crazy. It's like, do you not see the connection yet, Graham? Do you not see it yet?
He's not one of the ones that blames Brexit for his breakup.
No, he blames the woke for making him into a bogeyman or whatever. I fuck knows. You know, he's into loads of mad conspiracy theories, and the TERF thing is part of it. And he's just because he used to be quite a social justice warrior, if you like, of that, you know, because him and his wife had a thing, you know, to do with like reproduction rights in Ireland and all that sort of stuff. But then he just
went fucking mental. It's so weird that the TERF stuff does seem to be like the stick. Because who fucking cares?
I know. Who cares what somebody else? The only time it matters is if you're physically interested in somebody. Then you might want to know what the bits are underneath. But other than somebody you fancy, what the fuck is the problem?
Yeah, unless it's you going through it, just like, yeah, you want to be, okay, cool, I'll do what I can to help, you know.
It's
like,
fucking crazy.
Shit.
I mean, it's just a repeat of the Section 28 nonsense from the 80s. That's all it is. It's just another bogeyman to pick on.
Yeah.
You know, and the implication is that this was invented 5 minutes ago, that people have never...
Yeah. Yeah.
These people never existed before, just because they, you know, you didn't acknowledge them, basically. Mm.
Well, same as with the gays in the '80s, it's like being gay was a new fucking idea.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Section 28 was the big thing. Yeah.
Do you know Richard O'Brien identified as non-binary? Like,
yeah, long time ago.
Oh right,
You know, he was, I didn't even know that. Like, it's just
He is also quite annoying, though, so he might have damaged the cause.
He's mental. He's very funny. I like him, you know.
I like him. I thought he was good job on the Crystal Maze.
He did a good job on the Crystal Maze, yeah, for sure.
I don't know.
Is Drew going to tell us he hates the Rocky Horror Picture Show?
My dad hates it too.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show, yeah.
I get the mixed opinion on it.
I just don't like gay people.
Well, we know that's a lie, but more lies for the podcast. So, but one thing that does save the JK Rowling is that I do like it when her special bodyguards rough up the riot cop.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I like her. I just don't like her manner, and she irritates me.
Holier than thou, literally.
Yeah.
Are we talking about Rowling?
No, the other one. The one that's Expanse Rowling.
Oh, right. I thought you meant J.K. Rowling. I was going to say, no, she's a fucking... I've never liked her.
Oh, okay, all right, I'll tell you
absolutely
one thing.
Absolutely unoriginal, derivative nonsense that just happened to hit lucky at the time because it was one of those cycles of time where people might or might not have got into Tolkien at a certain age and stuff. You know,
Hamish,
that's all it was.
You left out racist. Fucking... She's also quite racist.
Oh, yeah, she's racist as well, yeah. She's a cunt,
she racist too?
She's quite... Like, she's racist in the very ignorant way of racist. Like, there's one of the... In one of the Harry Potter books, there's this, like, Irish guy called, like, Fainus McFinnigan, and he likes to blow things up. And there's a black guy that's called, like, I don't know, Shackleford Rustbolt or something like that. Like, not quite that name,
I'm okay with both of those.
No, you're not.
Because I would write that character, the blowing up character, I'd be writing that in, like, celebration of, you know, like, look at the cool shit they did.
There's also an Asian one that is, like, a faux Asian name, which is a bit...
You're saying with Joel Perrineau.
I would never use a faux Asian name.
Anyway, back to the
I got my racism straight.
One of the ways in which she's irritating is, again, I think I find, despite being very naive myself, I think I find naivety irritating. And so she's coming into essentially like a G7 meeting of the most evil people in the world and going like, there's been a New Testament since then. You're not supposed to do memes.
Yeah,
like, you look at who you're fucking talking
look at who you're talking together. They are scumbags.
Also,
and she's easily bought off as well. You know.
Yeah.
The signs that they're holding up, I find quite amusing.
She does have history with them as well, though. So there's maybe some sort You know, she's got some. Sort
but she
of
also,
loyalty
I mentioned this last episode. She's the dynamic between her and Man is quite interesting because you get. You really, because we know Man is dull, but you really, through her and through their interactions, you understand the depth of his dullness. Like, you keep digging, and there's still dullness. Like, there's nothing else. It's just dullness.
Dullness all the way down.
Yeah. Also, yeah, the signs of the protesters I found quite amusing.
Some of them were quite funny, yeah.
They're quite generic. They're just signs like "What's going on?"
Careful,
tell
now.
Us the truth. And it's like, tell us, you know, that was the one. Oh, is it aliens? That's another one. Question mark. Is it aliens? We want to know. It's like, you know, we've seen a lot of protests over the last like 15 years, a lot of them, and you know they range from peaceful to very not peaceful, and like the ones that are very not peaceful, there's a much more defined grievance, right? I'm thinking like with the George Floyd thing in particular, right? That sparked a very real anger where the signs, should we say, would not be "Tell us the truth." Is it aliens? This feels like a
well, even on the far more peaceful end, like the slogans tend to be like, I mean, we've all seen it a million times now, but the first time I saw "There is no Planet B," I was like, that's very witty. That's a good slogan. You know, it's that kind of thing.
Well, that's what you need, though, for a slogan. You need a simple, effective message that people can remember.
Yeah.
Down with the sort of
America
thing.
America great again.
there you go.
But one thing I do like about the woman, okay, so maybe you'll actually end up bringing me around on her, is that she gets belted by the riot cop, but she doesn't make a thing about it. She does kind of like...
That's the frustration. She's an almost cool character, but she's just irritating at times and in places.
I wonder if it's something to do with how it was filmed, because she's in a lot of different situations in this series. Sorry, I'm a minor spoiler. And I wonder if her time, because she's one of those people that's in a lot of different series, sci-fi series as well, and I wonder if it was just, you know, she hadn't quite got who she was playing.
No, I think she does the character perfectly. I think she's supposed to be a little bit sanctimonious and a little bit...
But I was thinking about that scene
in different
particular
situations. She's actually, as a particular situation, I think Hamish and I are thinking of a bit later. And I think she's actually quite likable in that situation because her certainty gets questioned a little bit. She's got that like Christian, you know, evangelical Christian like certainty about everything,
but gay and she's in a gay relationship with a child
just for the audience, just to make it clear, she's not that kind of Christian. She's not the gay hating, she's the nice kind of Christian. When her certainty gets undermined she becomes more interesting.
Also like in, like, it makes a lot of sense that in this version of Earth, like, it seems that polyamory is quite normal, so
she's not polyamorous as far as we know.
I thought there was another one for the kid, you know. There was like
just the two of them.
I know with Holden, of course, he's to the degree of the actual amory of the polyamory is questionable. You know, we don't know their personal relationships, but
there is explicit polyamory later in the show. So
yeah,
you've got that to look forward to.
I don't know. It just seems more normalized, I guess, in this world.
Yeah.
You know, hang on a minute. What was I going to say? Sorry, I don't know. I've lost my thread. The one thing, right? She asks for a year's supply for a free clinic. Right? That's a low fucking offer, right?
Yeah,
you're talking.
Yeah. She was cheap to buy off. I think that's something I said a wee bit earlier on. Yeah.
For a year, right? Yeah. Like, we're talking
literally
about
nothing.
What about systemic change? What about Medicare for all?
If
you're not thinking about systemic change, like at least you know, a nationwide chain of clinics that are funded for, you know, not just a fucking clinic. Oh, what, like, what's that going to be, like a million or something to the, you know, the dude who runs the fucking planet?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and he doesn't even quibble over it, right? Start with your offer expecting to be haggled down a bit, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my god, and she's smart. Like, also, the thing I was going to say, you said she was in a lot of sci-fi things. She does have kind of like a sci-fi face, doesn't she? Like, you know, some people have a fantasy face, like Sean Bean in a lot of ways. Although he has been in some sci-fi, but like
Carl Urban,
And I mean, like Charles Dance. Even, you know, he's
Who my stepdad, my mum's partner Alan, looks, he gets mistaken for Charles Dance, especially when they're on cruises and stuff. They think he's just on holiday. It's like...
Charles Dance on a cruise.
No, he looks quite a lot like Charles Dance. I wouldn't say he's double, but you can see it quite easily, you know.
Because like Charles Dance is the quintessential hot older man, isn't he? Like, isn't he? Come on, I thought I was.
Yeah.
Like, okay, thank you. I thought that was like the most obvious thing in the world.
Sorry, I'm just looking at what else Elizabeth Mitchell's been in.
I mean, Christopher Lee's not bad as far as old white men go as well, but he's dead, so that might be.
Is a hindrance. Yeah.
Is a hindrance to some.
So, should I find a pic? Should I out my mum's partner then? Should I?
Yeah.
You guys carry on with the next thing, and I'll find a picture.
Just put
of
up a picture of Charles Dance.
Yeah, that would have been a better thing to do, really. Wouldn't it? So smarter, I would have went. Eh, his picture of. Wow, that looks, it looks just like you did in Alien 3 there. That was amazing.
The bit where she goes, where man is saying something, and she goes, bullshit, and goes, that's why I hired you.
No, it doesn't. That whole scene is really weird. That's why I think it feels like she didn't quite have everything locked in yet, because she goes, sorry, that was disrespectful. And it's like, yeah, but he was talking, but you know, you were right. And but then you know, it was predictable that he was going to go, ha, now that's why I wanted you, because you'll talk to me like that. You know, nobody else talks to me like that. Oh, sorry. Oh, Drew, why am I apologising?
No, Drew is, yeah.
Drew, you're muted on Jitsi.
He's still muted.
There you go.
There you go.
You're still muted, but you're not muted on Jitsi anymore.
Ba 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 ba.
There we go.
There you go.
Fuck me. Sorry, I just touched my keyboard wrong. Anyway, that scene just felt like a scene from The West Wing. Like, it felt like it was intentionally trying to be a scene from The West Wing with all the failings of West Wing scenes.
Oh, yeah, right. I wonder.
And it felt a little bit like when he said to Avicerella, you're smart.
You're smart.
You're smarter. It's like, do you think that's smooth? That sounds like a really bland person.
Every time he thinks he's saying something cool, he's just more dull.
Yeah.
It's like you said, dull all the way down.
He's like a manager giving a you know, like almost a little bit Michael Scott, like thinking he's cool, thinking he's doing a cool thing, and just looking more and more stupid.
Yeah, but Michael Scott is a genuinely interesting character. His lack of depth is amusing.
But makes him. It's clearly a critique on politicians. It's the perfect politician. Actually, they do. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody got as far enough into Parks and Rec to get to the bit where they literally have somebody running for Senate, and like in front of cameras, he's like very, you know, articulate and speaking. And then as soon as the cameras are off, he just sits there like this, like for hours, just sitting in his office, just like blank.
Yeah.
And this is not the best picture of him. Sorry. I've got better ones, but he's got a lot of weight in him there. He looks more like Charles Dance when because he's quite tall and thin as well. Mm. But in that picture, I'll put it on the old...
put it in the background.
Put it on the screen for everybody to see. But I've given it to you guys in the thing. His chin's a bit, you know, he's that's from between cruises when he's... You know, but... You'll see it more. If I've got a picture of him that's much better than that one. I'll find it eventually.
Yeah, his smile is different to Charles Dance's smile, though. Charles Dance doesn't grin like that. He smirks.
Yeah.
Because he knows.
I was just about to say there's one of them
is.
Going.
Like...
Yeah, he's not as cool as Charles Dance. He's not as cool as Charles Dance. Sorry, Alan.
So yeah, she's.
No, I do think the actress. I think the character. I do think the character is. Yeah, I said it. I'm going to reiterate. I think the character is supposed to be like that. I think she's supposed to be a bit annoying because later on, because she's very certain about everything. She has a very anchored moral certainty.
Well, she
when that moral certainty gets undercut a bit, she becomes a way more interesting character. She has to start questioning herself, and that's when that annoying Christianness sort of drops away a bit.
Okay, I think as well, she has just been basically plucked out of, you know, some like a dropship full of Marines dropped that came into her church grounds and took her away.
Yeah.
So there is a bit of that.
And she's spotted in the background of this. Is that the person giving the speech? Is that man when he's younger?
That's man, yeah.
Yeah, when he's younger, yeah.
Oh, so he had a personality. No, actually, he didn't.
No.
That speech was so bland.
That's the point, yeah.
Well, he's reading her speech.
Yeah, but that speech was quite bland.
It was quite bland, yeah. But it was the kind of thing a Democrat would think was charismatic. Do you know what I mean? It's like thinking Obama is charismatic.
Yeah. It's like we will carry in our hearts to a place where we will stand proud and say we were not stopped. That's just like we will fight for what we believe in. We will do the right thing. We are strong together.
Oh God!
This far and no further.
The whole thing is a bit West Wingy.
It really is. Yeah, I think consciously.
Yeah.
They do mention that they do a lot of homage.
This show is very it's very conscious of its influences. Yeah.
Yeah. At least they're not doing the walk and talks.
I would quite like that, honestly. I mean, much as I deride the West Wing and think Sorkin's a hack and all that stuff, like he can write a certain kind of dialogue very well. And it is sort of a pleasure to watch.
Mm. I feel a little bit like she snaps back a bit soon on what happens to the Arbogast. Like, what happened to the Arbogast?
Arbogast,
sorry. Flabbergast.
I don't remember. What did she... So
Erin Wright says, do you think this is basically like a sign from God? Mm. And she's like, oh, you're just making fun of me. Shut up.
Oh, no, I think... No, I would have read that situation the same way, I think. He's being cocktail party as a sign from God, is it?
Yeah, maybe, actually. Yeah, I get
it. Plus, it's also Erin Wright. We hate Erin Wright, so we take it offense at him anyway.
I kind of like Erin Wright.
Well, he got a wee bit more respect when he did the turnaround thing, you know?
He's the baddie I like the most.
Oh...
As in, you could have a drink with Erin Wright and have fun.
Yeah, and then die.
Yeah, I wouldn't trust him. Yeah.
Strickland looks boring as hell. Mao, I don't know. Maybe I guess are these the only bad guys? Dresden would be interesting.
Proto Monster. Would you go for a drink with Proto Monster?
Oh, we'll go for a drink with Proto.
You wanted Proto Monster to join the crew.
I did.
I like that idea as well. I think that's kind of cool.
It'd be cool if May turns into a proto human and joins the crew.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool. The thing is, when we were starting this show, I really did not think it would be aliens, and you did a great job at laughing that off.
It kind of, even though it is, it's not aliens in any of the ways you would expect, right? So when watching this show for the first time, I was like, this show's too smart for it to just be aliens. Mm. And then the way in which it's aliens is not disappointing.
Yeah, it's not cliched at all. It's like it's an interesting take on aliens, basically.
Yeah.
So I'm not ruling out X-Men, but done in a way that you don't expect.
Don't rule that out.
I don't know if it could turn May and the other kid whose name I can never remember into bad guys, or it could turn them into heroes. It could turn them into complex. Well, it would much more likely turn them into complex characters. You know, they're not going to.
Katoa, by the way.
Katoa. Yeah. Right. You know what? Oh, sorry, I'm not. Oh.
I don't know if it's worth putting it on because how many times are you going to say it? But you know, Katoa Merton, incidentally.
Katoa Merton. You know, well, it's been like 5 episodes where I've talked about him. So, Katoa.
You do seem to have a weird obsession with him.
Any relation of?
Well, he's got proto veins.
Or Paul.
Or Paul.
Paul Merton.
Sorry, I missed a bit there. What about
Katoa's surname is Merton? And I said, any relation to Mrs. And Hamish said, or Paul.
Gotcha. All right. Katoa Merton. So he's proto boy and proto girl. So,
I know I want to get a roll from the kitchen because I've got rolls today because it's food delivery day.
Egg bacon cheese.
Oh, nice. I had two egg rolls for my brunch, whatever you want to call it, I suppose. But I could eat again.
Is that all of the man bit?
Nothing big sort of happens with man. It's just
nothing ever happens with man. It's just an boring.
Awesome deconstruction of his boringness. I love it.
I mean, she doesn't like Esteban. She's angry with him, blah, blah, blah.
Esteban is man, right?
There is one thing I think worthy of pointing out is that Anna warns them that collective punishment is a war crime, which is very apposite, you know?
I mean, it is, but again, that's kind of the naivety I was referring to. Like, look at me fucking talking
with
to.
With reality,
like...
I mean.
Oh, no, I get it. Yeah.
But I've committed three war crimes before breakfast.
But it's like going into a US cabinet meeting and going, oh, I've just noticed something. Apparently, group punishments aren't allowed, so we're going to have to stop. You know what I mean?
It's who she's talking to. Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, all right, on to the interesting bits. Should we start on the Rosinante, which I'm never going to remember its new name?
Oh, right. The Contorta.
Contorta, right.
The Penis Contorta.
Contorta, right. There we go. Okay.
Penis Contorta, Chris.
Penis Contorta, brilliant. Okay. They're starting a garden, so I like that Prax is already putting his. So I don't know. I'm start. See, like he's going to become just a well loved member of the crew and then die, isn't he?
Well, I told you. Well, he got his head blown off, and you missed it. I thought it was this episode, but obviously it's the next episode.
With us saying like when you were like, I hope he doesn't die in the next episode, we were like, oh, I did wonder whether you would when that drill comes towards his face. I did wonder whether they're like.
I did kind of wonder, but like that actually was very tense for me. I think.
Yeah.
I think it's meant to be. I mean, it is a fucking
incredibly tense scene.
The thing is, it's his own fault as well. He didn't block the panel up properly.
Well, I don't know.
Well, what? Like, no, it's his own fault.
It was
his own fault, Chris. Don't stand up for shoddy people. Oh no! Are you a shoddy person, Christopher? Are you a shoddy person?
As a clumsy, forgetful, all of that person, like I very much sympathizing with Praxis.
So that's you'd be dead pretty quickly in this
closed
situation.
It and he locked it. It didn't click, right?
Yeah, he didn't. Now, he didn't lock it. Is the point? He just went. That must be it. It's his own fault.
That's not important.
That's human error. So, like, if you've got things that you need to stow away securely...
You're in a fucking spaceship. You've got to be careful.
Well,
I feel like...
I want to hear what Chris has got to say about... If you've got stuff you've got to stow away carefully, right? Okay.
No, if there are cabinets that rely on health and safety to be locked, they should be locked by default when you pop them up, right? Like, a bit like a front door that locks...
Now,
you know,
we already know that these were made specifically for these things.
It's not Praxis' fault. It's whoever did Praxis' orientation who should be held responsible.
So you're blaming Amos again, then?
Yes. Yeah. This is Amos' fault. And Amos clears up after his mess, so it's okay.
It's all. But the thing is, I did feel like that was a lot of peril with no actual progression. I liked this episode a lot, but I felt like I got a bit of peril fatigue.
I know what you mean. Oh, fuck. I know what you mean. But it's because we've seen Amos and Prax getting closer. And this shows that Amos will put himself in great peril to save Prax. Like, he cares
Prax.
There's definitely people around where Amos would not endure that much risk to protect them.
Yeah, that's I like that the Prax Amos friendship.
It's it's beautiful. Yeah,
and the thing is as well is like Amos is quite keen to help Prax with the gardening. Like he's one that
he's a good friend. He's a good friend.
I like that. I really
And then I think Amos really responds to genuine people, and Prax is purely genuine. Yeah.
Yeah. And I even Holden gets a bit in on it. He's like, no rescuing today. We're doing gardening today.
And I love that they get, you know, they give Prax the vote, and Prax, you know, Prax goes against what the consensus is. And
I knew that was gonna, I knew he was going to do that.
Yeah, of course, Yeah. But it's cool. It's cool. Yeah. It plays out cool.
Well, I mean, they know that we know that that's going to be assumed, because I don't even think they explicitly say it until like quite a bit later on.
Say what? Sorry.
They don't actually confirm Prax's vote until Amos asks about it quite a bit later on. So it's like so because I think we knew that, because it's like the person that you can save today outweighs the person that you can potentially save tomorrow, right?
Well, it's that. I mean, Prax is just a good person, so somebody in peril, he's not going to turn his back on them. But there's also, as we discover in the conversation between he and Amos a little bit, there's a little bit of like he's afraid of getting to finding out what's happened to his daughter, because he's putting off finding out.
Yeah. And also remember, he's had a huge trauma with his friend being murdered in front of him as well. There's a lot happened to Prax in a very short space of time.
Yeah. Poor Prax.
And she didn't even get the dignity of CGI hair.
No. I mean, we've kind of jumped a bit, but let's because we've jumped ahead of right, carry on. I'll let you steer. Christopher's the bosun. Is it the bosun that does the steering? I think it is.
I'm
going to make a copper though, so bear with
me. All right. I'm just trying to find out where we are. Okay, so and also, I'm glad to see that after all of the shenanigans, the garden was not too badly wrecked.
Yeah, they were able to fix it. Yeah,
they were able to fix it, and
because he hadn't. I mean, he hadn't actually rigged up the panels to protect it yet. That was part. You know, it's work in progress still.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I'm looking at the door now, and it's like it takes a lot of bumps to bump open. Like it.
But they're in a ship that does high G maneuvers. He didn't lock it. I mean, you can dress it up however you want. Prax didn't lock it, and he should have. That's it. I don't care what. I mean, yeah, you know, I'm not saying, oh my god, we should execute him and throw him at the airlock for making a mistake. It's just a mistake. But you know, hopefully he'll learn his lesson that mistakes can be pretty fucking, you know, kind of huge consequences when you're on a spaceship.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's,
he's used to being in a dome and on a station, but he's not used to being in space or on a spaceship, so, you know.
Yeah. So they're fighting. Okay, so there's some stuff here that I'm not entirely sure what happens, because is Proto Molecule getting involved in this fight?
Which fight?
The dog fight with the
between the Razorback and the UNN ship.
Well, and the UNN ship, and then the Contorta.
No, why? What made you think the?
They said things like torpedoes don't usually do that. And
no,
there was a lot of blue cloudage that I thought.
Yeah. No, what happens is Alex and I think it was Alex's plan. I'm not entirely sure, but Alex comes up with a clever plan of making two of the torpedoes explode in a field with each other, and it just creates a huge EM cloud of interference.
Ah, excellent.
So the blue is just normal explodey blue. It's not proto molecule blue.
Ah, okay. All right. I thought that might be. Yeah. Okay, cool.
So then the Contorta can come through the EM interference and just shoot straight at the thing.
Yeah, that was Holden's idea, because I think, was it Alex that said that you must have been a great, when you were in the Navy, you must have been a great tactician or something?
And he isn't goes, there a bit oh. where he puts something into a pad and goes, how about we do this? And Alex is like, ooh.
Yeah, there's something, I've kind of never paid enough attention to that little sub-thread.
But they shoot, so they use
the railgun. So we're skipping over the fact that we're skipping over the Bobby and Avisar Alibits, are we? Because there's no point going back to them once we've already explained what happened to the rest.
Oh,
to
no, that's exactly what we'll do.
Right, okay.
have you been in this podcast before?
Yeah. You always seem surprised that we take things out of order.
And it's not so much out of order, it's that one thing that connects to another thing is when it's weird. It's not weird when it's like story threads that happen chronologically at different times in the show, but when it's one actual event that is a...
I just want to point out that I actually try and make an effort to make it more chronological than I would do it.
Okay. Do you really?
Yes. Wow. No, I would literally do it in starting with the most interesting scene and working backwards. Because the thing is, no, like a lot of people who watch particularly long videos don't watch it all the way through. So you it helps to have interesting stuff to keep people hooked, and then when people,
you know what, I think when we have done that, when we have started with the most interesting thing first, we've stayed more on track, because we do that and then we do all the things that connect to it outwards. I think that does actually work better.
I've not paid enough attention to how we do it to actually have an opinion, to be honest.
Oh, there's not really that much rhyme and reason to it, but well, I was going to say, for the sake of your sanity, Hamish, I try and chronological it, but I don't think I'm doing a very good job at saving
your sanity. Don't worry about it. No. I just meant that I would have thought that it'd be better to go with the Razorback before you go into the Contorta, that's all.
Well, we can jump over to the Razorback, and then they can join together.
We've already done most of the joining.
Yeah.
Do it.
They spend all of the time in the Razorback, don't they?
I'm just sitting here waiting for Chris to come up with impressive stuff about the Razorback now.
This is quippy. Avisrala is quite quippy in this episode. Well,
she's scared shitless.
Yeah, she's quippy up to the point where she realises, fuck, I'm actually going to die.
Well, yeah, one of the best bits is when she says, oh, I think I'm getting used to this high G thing. And Bobby says... We've been at 1G for like the last 15 minutes or whatever, you know. And she goes, oh shit.
And then she goes, speak politician.
Yeah, that's quite a good line, actually. Yeah.
Yeah, it's that's the hammerlock. Speak politician.
Also, I don't know if it was a case of they were panicked and not thinking about it, or if she was just saying it for Avisarala's sake or whatever, but she says, oh, I'll keep her names out of it. But obviously, she's pointed out the only people that can receive her signal or decode her signal are the Martian Navy or Martian military in general. And also, it comes from her suit. And so we know, I mean, I don't know if you bothered to freeze frame that when they get the signal, when they get the IFF... signal packet, it's got on it her name specifically and like loads of serial numbers and everything.
I think it's more keep Avisarala's name out.
You think
of it
so? Because... Yeah. Because she does say I've got a high value diplomatic target, blah, blah, blah. And she says rogue UNN ship, but I mean, they're at war, so what exactly could that mean? You know, that's a wee bit weird. But I get the idea.
I think if either Mars or Earth had known Avisarala was on that ship, then they'd have an interest in just blowing it up.
Or capturing her, or whatever.
Well, they want to be captured. I think it's the blowing up.
Yeah, they want Mars to capture. Yeah, she'd rather be captured by Mars than killed by the UN before she gets a chance to explain why.
Which makes sense.
Yeah,
understandable. And also, I don't know, maybe like what Mars would have, like would have an interest in keeping her alive for a bargaining chip, if nothing else.
Exactly, yeah. Well, and also interrogating her.
Or interrogating her. Or maybe, like, they might... they might just not commit as many war crimes.
Why?
They just might have a reputation for not committing as many war crimes.
I'm sorry, who are we talking about now?
Mars.
if they capture Avasarela, they will commit less war crimes?
No, as in like Martians may be known for committing less war crimes.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
In the same way that we
she may feel safer with them than with the UNN people.
Yeah, like I'm not entirely sure what their reputation sort of is in that regard specifically. But like if it's a, you know how the US have black sites and they break international law all the time and that kind of stuff. Maybe Mars might be a little bit, at least known for being a bit more on the up and up. We know the UNN aren't.
Avasarela specifically isn't, you know.
Probably, I mean, we've also seen the Martian Navy conducting a weapons test on its own people.
Yeah. Well, that was a bit, I think that may have been a rogue captain rather than, the Navy in general.
I would hope so. Is he only a captain? Yes, he is, isn't he?
He was a lieutenant, I believe, but he was captain of a ship. Because I know somebody that was the captain of one of the UK aircraft carriers. He was a customer in my shop years ago when I had my shop, but he was never above the rank of commander. So he wasn't the captain. In rank, but he was the captain of a ship, yeah.
Much like Commander Sisko, until he gets promoted to captain.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Although he's the commander of a space station, not a captain of a ship, so.
There's the...
They do move it.
Is he already a captain by the time... They do move it, yeah, early on. But is he already the captain of something by the time... Is he already captain in rank by the time they get the ship, which I forgot the name of.
I'll come back.
Yeah, you got whooshed. What's the name of the little ship? What's the name of the ship?
Oh, the Defiant?
Defiant, that's it. Was he a captain in rank by the time they got the Defiant or not?
No, I think part of the rationalization they give is that they promote him to captain because of the Defiant. I'm not sure it makes a ton of sense, but it's kind of cute narratively.
Chris, you probably have to bugger off and come back again.
Yeah, fuck off.
Chris.
Of the sight of you.
Okay.
Oh, that was good. It's so much more. Better not come back
for the next 3 seconds.
We don't want him back. Oh, damn it. Yeah, once Drew disappears, we should be in the correct position again.
Fantastic.
There we are. We're in the correct position again.
Yay. It looks like
you've got a creepy man over your shoulder.
Yeah, it's like,
I love that.
He's like, oh god!
That's two episodes in a row where you've had a creepy Jules Pierre Mao in the background.
He looks. It's the underlighting, isn't it?
He is good at the villain part. You know, the actor's good at it.
One thing that did stand out to me on this episode, I am convinced Naomi would know what an IFF is.
Why?
What is an IFF?
Identify friend or foe.
That's what the name of the episode is as well. The signal they get from Bobby.
I know what an IFF was. I've never heard that.
She's not in the military, though.
It's just a thing.
To be honest, yeah, you'd think with her experience with ships and stuff, she would know, yeah.
If I know what an IFF is, she would definitely know what an IFF is.
Yeah. I didn't.
You almost certainly do rummaged around in the back of your...
No.
Because it's a big thing in computer games.
Never heard it.
Yeah, it is mentioned in computer games a few times, yeah.
Yeah, namely Deus Ex.
That's new to me. Yeah, Deus Ex has it, and...
That bypassed me completely. Yeah, no.
Oh. Okay. No. I guess... I felt that they were doing it for the audience.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. But they could have picked somebody else. Like, Prax would have been a better choice.
Yeah, practice.
What's IFF?
Yeah. I mean, Sony. Fair point with Naomi.
Or could have just said the friend foe identifier, or
Good Bobby line. Mm-hmm. I didn't write it down, so it's going to be non verbatim, but it's something like a good pilot could do this. And Avasarela says, "You a good pilot?" And she says, "No, the pilots fly me down to kill stuff."
That's pretty much it. Yeah.
She goes, no, I'm you're, a marine pilot.
Drew, you're way sunken down and in one corner again.
No, I'm not.
You're in danger of...
I'm this far up.
You are above the... No. Sorry. Remember, there's a flag as well.
Yeah, there's a flag. You're holding the flag now.
You are holding the flag, yeah. You're above it now, but no, yeah.
But fine.
No, you're all right. Just...
No, fuck
I'm just weary of it all, you know. It's because you go, oh yeah, that's fine, and then 3 seconds later, I look and you're like this.
It's more of a danger later in the day when I'm tired and I just,
I mean, we don't. It's just like, I for one don't care, but like, it's just, I mean, it's just the camera angle. You can lean back. So, hang on a minute. Did I just get a notification or did you get?
Somebody did. Yeah.
Oh, that might have been you. I didn't recognize that notification sound. I assumed it was you then, Hamish.
Okay, hang on.
I mean, if you heard it.
I did. It was me.
Bloop. I'll put
that away now. Oh, no, I can't. You're on the same channel. I put it away and I thought, wait a minute, they've gone very quiet.
Well, it's a bit of mid podcast faff, which is
you've got to have the faff.
It's kind of essential, really, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
There you go, Drew. That's what you look like at the moment on the chat there.
That's perfect. Absolutely perfect.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's after you adjusted. That's you adjusted. Well,
a little bit lower would be nice, but get on to Chris. He's blurry.
I am blurry. I'm sorry about my blur.
No. If you look at the picture, you're actually moving. That's the joke. No, you're not blurry.
You're not.
Yeah, you're not unfocused. You're fine.
You're fine.
Good.
Well, I'm unfocused, but that's not how to do with cameras.
I've got a Chris theory.
Oh, Chris theory. We've not run for a few episodes. I love a Chris theory.
I think that Bobby and Amos are going to be into each other.
I will not say whether this came to fruition or not, but first time I watched, I had the exact same thought.
Because, like, Amos likes people with a bit of fire.
Mm-hmm.
And
you thought Bobby and Cotia were going to be a thing.
No, they were just flirting. They're both Cotia's like, or Spy, to use his real name.
Sorry, yeah.
He's just a smooth operator, right? Like, that's just.
Bobby and Amos are the only two people the other person could fuck without breaking them.
Yeah, exactly. Both mentally and physically. I suspect that, I don't know, like, it's just like, it feels like, or they're going to hate each other's guts. There's going to be like. I think maybe
they're very similar. You
know, they're very similar. That's the
very
thing.
Very loyal, like, yeah, doggedly loyal, and, you know, capable of, they're there to do violence, really, is their main.
Yeah. And I think Amos, whilst Amos definitely has a sympathetic streak to people like Prax,
yeah.
I don't think that necessarily applies to his romantic interest on the basis. That he seems to be, to use the nomenclature of the show, nomenclature of the show.
Oui.
He seems to hang around in flop houses a lot.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
and I don't want to necessarily make it.
It's what he's used to.
He likes it a bit rough, I think.
Yeah, you know,
not rough as in, not, I don't mean like BDSM rough. I just mean aggressive,
feisty,
yeah.
He doesn't want someone fragile.
No,
and I think so.
I think he wants a physical equal. Mm.
Yeah, but I think he was like because it, like, he reacted to Miller in kind of a positive way when it's like, oh, I like this guy.
Mm.
That was the violence side of him. I think.
yeah.
The what? Sorry.
The violence side of Miller. I think.
And I think straightforward. It was a straightforward.
Yeah, but a bit of both.
And I think Bobby is authentic, very authentic. And I think that, and also now ex-military. So
they seem like.
I mean, Bobby and Amos are kind of just the same person.
Amos wasn't in the military.
Yeah,
was he?
Was he not?
No, he wasn't.
No.
Holden.
Holden was in the Navy, and Alex was in the US, the Martian Navy.
Mm. And then, of course, Naomi was a OPA operative. So,
Eivor's the one saying. Person you're saying that. Yeah, we couldn't possibly comment.
I mean, I've never heard that name before in my life. I think she was the CEO killer, though.
One can only hope.
That's your man of the year, isn't it, Chris?
Yeah.
I thought that was the Space Virgin's man of the year.
Space Virgin's man of the year. Yeah, well,
your pick, I mean.
I nominated him.
I second.
Drew seconds it, yeah.
Motion carried.
Yeah. Now that, do you know they caught him?
Well, they caught somebody.
They caught somebody. You're right.
Oh, right. I did see something about that. Yeah. Because we were talking about this last night. I think the best thing that can happen politically is him for real getting caught, not killed in the process of getting caught and there being a trial.
Yeah.
Because a trial where the whole of the public are on the side of this dude. It's going to be incredibly fucking difficult. Yep. It's going to be hard for the media. It's going to be hard for the government.
Yeah. However,
something might happen to him. And I think he's probably prepared for it.
Or they'll get some patsy and he's like just protesting his innocence. So there's no like speechy things. And that'll be shitty as well.
I mean, I wouldn't put it past the fact that they just picked up someone and just to take the blame. This is one of those things where it's almost kind of like if they can't find the person, they'll have to find someone to take the fall.
It'll be some mentally ill person with a record of, you know, the occasional violent crime and that they can easily.
Yeah, yeah. Because the thing is, the guy that they caught seems to be like a kind of person that would do the least amount of political damage for getting caught.
Yeah.
Because he seems like they're trying to paint him as he's actually a right winger, so the left can't possibly corral behind him. He's not a hero of the left. he likes some of the right wing people. But I don't know. My suspicion is that he's a bit more like the Trump shooter, where it's like he's just going to be one of those people that their politics are all around the place, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we think in somewhat
as Drew says. Hopefully, we'll find if it is really him that they've got. Hopefully, we'll find out in public.
A lot of people are saying it's like, why did they find him with the stuff that he was wearing and all of the evidence on him? Like, surely,
including the gun, right?
Yeah, including the gun.
I did see something about it on Freddy, but I didn't realize that they'd actually, got him.
And I'm thinking, that might just be. I don't know, that would be exactly it. That'd be like, I don't know, that just it just fits that narrative a little bit too well. But I don't know if I'm being a bit like internet conspiracy theorist.
If I had the Discord soundboard right now, it would be saying, how convenient.
How convenient, exactly. So I don't know, like the conspiracy part of my brain is definitely like, this is just...
He was acting suspiciously and carrying multiple fraudulent IDs. And he was found with a so-called ghost gun and suppressor consistent with the murder weapon as well as a mask. As you say, he's kept all of the same... Yeah.
Yeah. So the two theories I heard...
He was going to eBay them.
This is good. He studied computer science and for some reason they're adding in and he founded a video game development club because video games are what kill people, not guns. It's not guns that do it, it's video games. You see, they plant the evidence right away and fucking people at the BBC will just spit it back out for them.
Yeah. And it's the thing is now...
United Healthcare CEO Thompson was killed in a brazen targeted attack last Wednesday.
Heroic targeted attack, I think.
Self-defense. I would love, legally, I don't think it makes any sense, but I would love for the defense to go on self-defense.
Well, there's a little campaign to try and educate people about what's the term? Is it jury nullification?
The thing where the
jury, if they believe someone acted in gen.
Yeah, yeah, where they can say not guilty. If their heart's with it, yeah. There's even if you think somebody's guilty in a court of law, there's no pressure, there's no requirement for you to say guilty.
No. Is that an American thing? Does that apply to British?
Here, no,
that
applies here too.
You're not legally obliged to, like, you can say, I thought the evidence suggested that he was guilty, but I found him not guilty. That can be your decision if you want. Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's a jury. That's the point. It's meant to be a jury of your peers. It's not a jury. It's not the. It's not the judge. It's not officials. Mm. It's your own people. Is the idea.
Mm. Okay. Yeah. I know that's happened with some cannabis charges in the past. Mm.
But you'll also find that you would hope. This is the problem. Yeah. A lot of people will say, like, say somebody's, I mean, it's a bit obscene, extreme and unlikely, but let's say somebody goes to an actual trial for stealing a loaf of bread, right? I mean, obviously they're just going to browbeat them until they take some other thing. But anyway, point is, let's say it goes to trial, they stole a loaf of bread, and they, you know, you would think that if they say, yeah, they're guilty, but, you know, we find them guilty, you know, and that's it. The judge would go, yeah, but it's just a loaf of bread, and it's, you know, he's obviously, you know. But the problem is, if something's more complicated or a bigger case, you saying, feeling that you have to say guilty because they are, and relying on the judge to be judicious, ironically, is dangerous. Even in the loaf of bread case, you know, they might still be one of these fucking. Hang them all. Yeah. Every crime's bad. People.
That's a very true point. Is that if because it is known that trial by juries do tend to bring back quite a few guilty verdicts, and
there's a lot of coercion with legal teams and stuff as well.
And the thing is like if you can get a guilty verdict out of a jury. The judge can then basically determine their true guilt or innocence by a sentence.
So yeah, exactly. Like, yeah,
you know. Yeah. So,
but you've
so
got to rely like, on the judge, and the judges are going to be well. The judge, every judge that we have is, as far as I can tell, is a right wing fucking nut job. I mean, look what happened with the because it's also political. The judge's position is also pushed by politics, and like the Just Stop Oil people, for example. You know, the judge was disallowing them. From giving any evidence and things like that, there was journalists in court saying, "Look, this is not, you know, this is not right. This is a kangaroo court. This is, you know, it's just not. It's not a proper trial." And the jury was told to ignore things, and the jury were sent out in the big trial, you know, that really big one. They were sent away while the guy tried to give evidence and all sorts of things. It was obviously a fucking fixed thing, and the judges are.
I was comparing. We were talking about it last night in the Discord, but I was comparing it. It's obviously it's way bigger, but it's a little bit like the O.J. Simpson trial in that you know that was just after the L.A. riots and the Rodney King thing, where the police were found innocent, and then the O.J. trial. You know, he did it.
Yeah,
but the O.J. trial came up, and you know the belief or understanding was that if we find O.J. Simpson guilty, then there's going to be riots in L.A. again. Like black people are going to feel betrayed again. And there's going to be riots, and they I'm not saying it was solely for that reason, but in that environment, they found him innocent. And it's going to be that times a million. You know, the whole fucking world is on this dude's side.
Yeah.
And in that environment, trying to conduct a trial, and the media is going to be trying so hard to get the people on board with the government's position and but they don't want to be hated, you know. You don't want to get to the point where everybody just hates, you know, even more than they do now.
Yeah, if people stop the media, if people stop believing that the media is on their side, they're going to lose, because that's the grip they've got over the people.
Yeah, you know? And what is quite interesting. See, the interesting thing is that like this shooter guy is allegedly called Luigi. Luigi. He allegedly is a fan of Elon Musk, and Elon Musk is one of the people who's like, I'm so disappointed with people celebrating the death of a CEO. CEOs run America, after all.
Oh, God, yeah. Some of the stuff he said, you wouldn't be able to do anything without CEOs or some bullshit, and it's like, oh, you fucking deluded prick.
Oh, wow.
Did you watch the Silicon Valley clip that I linked in response to that?
Oh, I didn't know.
I should go back and get that at some point.
You should.
I wanted to get back to Expanse before. Yeah,
I just got to talk about the killer a little. One more point.
I mean, he's our man of the year, so
he is our man of the year. And it's and it's of course in true Space Virgin style that we just slot it at a random point in the middle of the show.
No, it should have been at the front or the end or something. Yeah.
Yeah. So he seems a bit generally a bit all over the place with the ideology, but a lot of the Ben Shapiro's and the right wing chattersphere, they're like, oh, how dare they gun down a CEO? This is their fucking paycheck talking now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be interesting to see, oh, if he turns out to be right wing, and you know, what's this going to do for like the Second Amendment kind of thing, right? Like this is actually kind of the Second Amendment being used to target oppressive forces.
What it's supposed to be used for, against tyranny. Yeah,
literally, yeah. That's what it's meant to be for. You know, yeah.
No, I think it's actually more interesting if he's on the right, because that, I mean, something we all know, like even in the very red states or so-called red states, like the ballot measures that they put through are things that are generally considered to be quite left-wing. Like, you know, we like legalization.
Yeah, yeah, calling things right-wing or socialist is just rights. A labeling thing over there. It's not actually what people
but
think.
Abortion rights and higher minimum wages. So if it is a right-wing dude, what it proves is that right-wing people are actually on board with left-wing policies. It's just something aesthetic that they object to. Or maybe the fact that nobody in the mainstream is putting left-wing views forward for... Because Bernie got these people. You know, Bernie's not the most left-wing person in the world, by American standards, he's pretty.
By American standards, he's a fucking communist.
So this is another indication that maybe we should have some left-wing politics.
Yeah, this is why I'm generally in favour that the left should actually try and do a takeover of the Republican Party, because I think there's more
chance of that than of the Democrats.
Yeah, that's true.
I think there's a chance. I think it's a long shot, but I think.
And I mean, historically, if you go back far enough, the Democrats were the pro-slavery party. The Democrats were the evil party not that long ago, only 100 years ago or so.
Yeah.
And the Republicans were the anti-slavery party. You know, it's... Yeah.
So, but this could be the rise of a new thing that's like the libertarianism but left. Like, I mean, we're a bit more familiar with the concept here in Europe, but in America, could this be it? Could this be pro-Second Amendment people that are actually in favor of universal healthcare or something like that?
America, you know, actually has a history of mass left-wing communist and socialist movements up until the beginning of the 20th century. They've just forgotten about it because of the 60s and 50s. You know, it was suppressed so hard in the 50s and 60s, they forgot their own history.
Yeah.
There was populist, cross-racial...
Well, the Wobblies were huge
working class
in America.
Sorry?
The Wobblies were huge in America, the World Workers Union thing.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, but it's the populist movement that was the pressure that forced them to do the New Deal. You know, it's... Anyway, yeah, they need to get back to their left-wing roots.
Yep. And I think Democrats are... I think the Democrats' role in American politics are to temper the left or distract the left or divide the left.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, they're the shield the bourgeois use against the left.
Yeah, absolutely agree.
So any way around the shield, be it third party, be it reformed Republicans or something like that, seems to be the only path to any kind of...
Yeah, you can't go through the Democrats, I don't think. Yeah, no.
No. I mean, I applaud people...
Anything actually doing.
Yeah. Ballot measures as well.
Yeah, but that's piecemeal. Yeah, we need something. We need left-wing parties in both their country and our country.
And actually, I'm just thinking... They need, like, you know how China has the one party state, but within that party,
China.
They have the one party state, but within that party, there are lots of different factions, and that gets, you know, like what about having left wing movements within both Democrats and Republican parties so that there is that gravitational pull always there?
That'd just be another way to contain the left, I think. Anyway, the expanse. I think we're done with Man of the Year.
Man of the Year? Okay. Luigi.
Man of the Year is whoever got the CEO.
Actually did it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Who actually did it? Yeah.
This dude. Yeah.
No. This dude might be just an unfortunate person caught in the crossfire.
Mm.
We'll find out, I guess. But hey, with all those internet sleuths about nowadays, like, that they'll probably take, like, and a televised trial, they'll be able to work, like,
I'm not sure it'll go that far.
They usually get it wrong, but yeah.
But well,
it'd be nice to be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
So this is going back to this is Amos and Prax talking towards the end, where he asks about why...
After
about
Prax
the,
fucks up, yeah.
After Prax fucks up. Does he ask... He asks about, like, why rescue these people instead of going after your girl? Yeah, and obviously, Amos is coming from the point of view of like he has that soft spot for children, right? Like he's like,
yeah, and he's also quite straightforward as well, because it was Holden and Amos that voted to continue to Io, and it was Naomi and Alex that voted against. For once in the entire show, I kind of agreed with Alex at some of the at one point as well.
No, and that is it's the three people with children now.
Ah,
that's an interesting point. Well spotted. No, I agreed with Alex when he said that it's all right. So it's okay when we may, you know, you reported the signal back on the Canterbury. It's okay when Naomi just arbitrarily breaks the agreement we've all made. But when it's when it's a Martian that's in trouble, suddenly, and there does seem to be an anti Martian and an anti Belter bias amongst you know, it's not blatant, but it's there all the time. There's a little leaning baked in towards certain things, and
it seems a little bit like white
because Amos and Holden as well. Amos and Holden are also both Earthers.
So or like first world privilege, like Western, like Northern Hemisphere. You know, it's that kind of
like it's that sort of the Western / Northern Hemisphere privilege type of assuming the best intentions for them and assuming the worst for
and just their lives. You know, the way we all familiar with the news being reported. You know, no Britons were thought to have been harmed. Who fucking gives a shit whether they're British? If they're like, are people harmed? You know,
So, let's not get sidetracked into that, because I'll just get angry and depressed.
With that being said, is there anything that we haven't covered?
Well, I just wanted to point out the Alex part, really, because like for one side, I agree with him.
You know, because
he says
agree.
This, you know, Alex... when it's a Martian, suddenly it's a Martian, and we're not giving a crap, you know. But that was very well spotted by Drew, though, that there are three people with children. That is incredibly interesting. Yeah. I never noticed that at all. Drew, you're quite good at this. I'm kind of glad that you know that you've done this. You know, you're doing this.
Yeah, you're very good at watching The Expanse.
That was like a
complete put down after we raised them up there. You know, yeah, you're good at passively enjoying something. Yeah,
I mean, it's not untrue. Very good at that. I love this episode because it's another like Miller in the Falcon. It's a comingy togethery thingy.
Yep, that's the best thing about it. Yeah, well, although it doesn't happen until next episode, obviously. But
because you love these characters, and of course you want them to meet up, and they meet up when they do meet up. I don't want to shit on Game of Thrones, but Game of Thrones did that a lot, but it was just like throwing characters together. Whereas this does feel like they were on paths and they sort of naturally came together, and like we as people watching are just like, waiting for.
So, Chris, how do you feel about Abba Sarala possibly being dead?
I find it very difficult to believe.
Well, she could have had a stroke, or she could be dead, or both. You know, one could have led to the other.
If she's going to die, she's going to die in a better way.
Okay, there you go.
It's a bit like Prax. It's like, really, is Prax going to die by having a screwdriver just land on his head?
Putting teleology aside, at this point in the show, I would not have believed that she was dead, and definitely not in this manner. It seems very unlikely that...
So
I found the next episode very surprising.
There are surprises coming up, that's for sure.
Yeah, like I wouldn't be surprised if any of the characters that we know would die. Like, I'm not necessarily saying everyone's completely safe, but if a main character is going to die, it's going to be
meaningful.
Yeah, and I think Abba Sarala's got some things to do before she dies.
Yeah,
if she dies, she might not.
It would be. Plot-wise, it would be very odd for Abba Sarala to die at this point. I agree.
Anyway, it's a pretty cool shot at the end of Bobby carrying her over. And
this is Bobby. A lot of the time, when Bobby's in proximity with Abba Sarala, they use it's religious
imagery.
It's religious imagery for sure. Yeah, it's got that feel to it.
Yeah, Chris, you might want to background us.
She makes an a T-pose, as they say on let's see.
Is it Mary de Magdalene who gets Jesus down off the cross? Because this is I can't remember who it is, but right. Mary de Magdalene. Mary of Magdalene carrying the Christ.
Yeah, Chris, you need to like completely duck out because there's too much background happening. Oh, even yeah, we can just about see even we know Chris there because he's short. No, Chris, down. You made the chair come back because of the colours. Your shirt is still there, but the one hanging up, I mean. But yeah, that's the view there. She is kind of like prostrate.
No, she's crucified.
Right, Chris, sorry, you can come back now, bud.
It's very religious. Yeah, because Bobby. In the previous episode, when Bobby reaches out like an angel, and it's got all that imagery to it, and I love that. I don't think that means anything higher than that. It's just imagery.
It's just imagery for the sake of imagery. But, yeah. Bobby's also not got her armor on, but that's probably a smart move considering this ship just rescued them. She doesn't want to turn up going guns.
I kind of feel, yeah, the way that Bobby's holding Avastrella is very zero G almost, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's a bit. Yeah. That's the point. Well, it is zero G because they won't be moving at this point.
Both ships will be stationary. Yeah, it's zero G. Yeah.
So that's some.
It's
some...
a docking tunnel, is what they call them.
Yeah. Microgravity, we should probably properly say.
Microgravity. And of course, Bobby's got her hair in the old bun.
Yep. So yeah. That's special effects. That was considerate of her.
Also, Amos looks a bit gruffer. Amos's beard, when he grows it out a little bit, he looks meaner.
He does, yeah.
It looks a bit that's quite a mean looking Amos.
Mm.
Yeah,
which is coinciding kind of with Amos at his softest
when
he's with Prax, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, awesome. Have we covered everything? I think we've covered everything.
Actually, something we missed. I think in a previous episode, something that we've kind of alluded to.
Yeah.
But Amos, I think Amos explicitly says to Naomi, "I've been trying to make my own decisions lately."
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, which is clearly it's a path he's on. He's trying to be more self-directed and stuff. And I think Prax suits that well because Prax isn't telling him what to do. He is choosing to associate with Prax, and which is slightly different, I think, from because with Naomi, he would choose her because she does the right thing, but then submit to her and not think about his decisions. Whereas with Prax, it's more choicey than that, I think. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Something else we didn't cover at all in the previous one was them burning the proto molecule off the ship and a bit of it remaining.
Yes. And a bit remaining. So is the ship going to become alive? Is it going to be a live ship?
You really want a ship to come alive, don't you?
It just seems like a sci-fi trope that is yet to be realised here.
Don't have to do every single sci-fi trope.
I think they might have to. They're going down the checklist. and who knows, maybe, like as you say, when Alex get me too'd at season 5, maybe it replaces Alex as the ship.
Oh, that would have been cool, actually.
I've got a great picture.
It's a bit of a giveaway. Bit of a giveaway that I'm saying that, but that would have been great.
I've got a picture of me screaming as she wakes up, which I'm gonna put in the picture. It's an excellent picture. I'll give you guys a copy of it too. Excuse me. If it lets me.
Oh, I'm garnering up some ideas for thumbnails. I think I've been chewing on this one a little bit. But in a good way, not in an overthinking kind of way.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh. Are we back?
It's got some power to it.
I think so, yeah.
I feel like we all kind of just are there. I don't know. Oh. But no...
I didn't notice anything. But...
Right, maybe it was just at my... Oh, no, I am jittering.
Yep, I'm back. Oh!
Everybody seems to be... good. Oh, no, Chris isn't. Right, okay. Is Chris pissing about?
It
Yeah.
He has no, yeah, for sure. You're funny, Chris.
Sorry, I'm going through a tunnel.
Anyway, yeah, that's a picture of me screaming as she wakes up. Or
okay. All right, look. Hang on a minute. I've got an image to show here. Right now, I know. Oh God, I don't want to kick this off again.
Well, look, are we going to finish up this episode before you show us something, or is this something you want to show the audience?
Oh no, this is an audience.
The audience, the viewer.
The audience, the viewer. Hello, viewer. I'd like to introduce you to this image.
Which shows that Prax fucked up. That and didn't is in lock it.
The locked position, give or take.
No, it's no. There is no okay. Give or take. It's no, locked. No, it's
no,
unlocked.
No.
His face when I said give or take. He was like.
Okay, so if it's important,
that's later on. Go back a bit to when he's not locking it. Yeah, I tell you what, you guys are determined to let people have a shoddy workmanship.
No. Shoddy, okay, I mean, don't get me wrong. He should have checked the lock, right? But the thing is,
that's nowhere near fucking locked.
No, it's not. It's like, but what I mean is, if it should default to lock, it should have defaulted to lock a lot easier than that one.
And we're doing that. You close it and it locks.
It's a panel. It's not a door. I mean, there's no hinge. It's not a hinged thing. It's a panel you have to put back in place and lock.
Yeah,
and it'll.
But it should have spring loaded catches that when you put it in, it locks,
snap it's, in, right? It's default.
Spring loaded catches can go wrong easier. That's why they've not got them.
It's the ship's fault.
No, it's not. I would not have spring loaded catches in that if I was designing it for sensible.
Both.
No. How do you mean both? How can you lock it and have it spring loaded? No.
Well, spring loaded, and then there's a locking thing as well, and then, you know, fail safe, done it.
Basically, you shouldn't be able to shut it without it being locked.
I'm never going to let you two engineer anything with me.
We
are never going to do the bath down the hill, the three of us. It's not happening. I don't trust you two with mechanical and engineering things.
I think this is bad engineering, right? If it's important that something is closed, it needs to default to a closed position.
I agree with that.
This is defaults. This is the defaults discussion that we have about software all the time, right? It's like, if it's important that it's closed for safety reasons, that lock there but should it's... just so much easier to clip closed than clip open. And it certainly shouldn't go backwards.
That's because it's ratchet. Not fucking ratcheted. It's not locked. It. That's why it wobbles and falls out. Because he's only went.
Exactly, and should be enough to lock it.
No, it shouldn't. Not the way these things are engineered. No. There's engineering different. I'm not very good at explaining it, but I'm sure somebody who's a better engineer than me could explain why that's. I know it is, but I can't explain why.
Commenters, get to work.
Yeah, commenters. Yes,
and qualified engineers, submit qualified your qualifications engineers, and tell us. Tell us why me and Chris are right about this.
the catch, it should just be a catch, like, you know, you should be able to do it without thinking.
We're in space and there's a lot of physics that you guys are taking for granted. Springs would work, I'm not arguing with that, but that's also quite an easy thing to have go wrong and loosen off.
If that was
spring loaded, if that was spring loaded and it went back to there, that would be the problem. I'm not going to get into this because you're just trying. I know you're just trying to wind me up. But
this
there
is a spike thing all over.
There is
again.
A reason. No, that's not. No, you were wrong about that anyway. But that's what. No, you were right about that. You were right about that. I'm sorry. It's the wrong way around. I forgot what. I forgot the bit. But no, in the case of this, the way this works is fine. I mean,
clearly not.
No, because it went wrong.
No, because trained and sensible people would not fuck it up like that.
It shouldn't require that. If it can go wrong due to human fuck up, it's poorly designed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I'll give you some concession here in that it shouldn't wobble loose and it should have been obvious it wasn't locked. But I also think he's just went, yeah, that'll do.
That is true. Yeah, yeah.
You know, be it a light or a
I think there's a middle ground here, and we're both arguing too far in the extreme, to be honest. A lock like that would have a very definite click, and he's not clicked it.
It should almost have a pull, right? You know, like
do we have an exhibit A of him locking it?
That's what I'm saying.
He does twist it up. I'm just trying to find out where in the episode it is. He's talking to Amos.
I'll have a scan through as well.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to. I'm gonna have to. This one's got me now. So
he twists it enough, in my opinion. Okay, right. I'm at the right scene.
So much since then.
We should dismantle them.
Oh. Countermeasures to the.
Okay, so he folds it up. He pushes it in.
We did it.
What time?
There we go. Oh, wait a minute.
What time frame are you at?
Okay, I'm like just before 25 minutes.
Oh. Well, yeah.
Oh, he's very closely. He. Oh, the, okay.
I'm on the scene.
A waste of time to try.
Yeah, we can hear it.
Okay. So he pushes the whole thing in.
Which is pretty amazing.
It should be like chuchung. That should be
the force. Look at the paddles.
So much to help me.
Also, it's hinged.
Yeah, he does barely twist that knob though.
Oh, he just goes.
No, he twists that properly. That's properly.
He just goes.
He just lightly touches it. No, with that, I'm on Hamish. I'm with Hamish on that.
I can't do any less.
I'm on Hamish.
Yeah, I'm watching it.
So much to help me.
Right,
it's a.
He pushes it.
He pushes it in properly. 25, position. 40 something.
That should lock it.
25, 50.
And 24. There we go. Yeah, he switches it 90 degrees. Bang, bang.
It does not.
It should not even. It should not even fold in so at that stage. A simple bit of metal just welded into it would have fixed the problem. Like it doesn't. You don't need springs or nothing like that.
No, I've watched it again, and I'm not. I'll tell you what, wait a minute. Oh, no, I can't be arsed. I was going to show it to the audience again.
But they can
watch it themselves.
Amos fully supervises it.
I mean, yes, that's why it's entirely Amos's fault.
Yeah, okay, I agree. You can blame Amos if you want.
I mean, what I'm saying is, if it goes.
It's my fault. There you go.
Well, it's.
Amos is going to turn up with, like, justice for Amos.
So it, like, in the unlock position, it is horizontal, and in the lock position, it's vertical. That is 11:30 on the clock when he puts that up. Like, it's so close.
10:00.
11:30.
That is a vertical.
No, that's the it's not. That's the flap moving. I can see you're at the angle you're at. I can see that's nowhere near. That's about 10:00.
That is not 10:00. That's
it is. Look at the angle of the panel as well when you're thinking about that. Look at the right hand straight line of the panel.
Half 11.
With perspective, that is less turned than it looks like it is. Yeah. And also, I mean, Hamish's
point. And he just goes, nah.
He's got to turn it till it clicks, and it doesn't click. It clearly doesn't click. That part, I think it's poorly designed, but yeah, if there's a click,
then I don't even think he would have done it.
What do you mean?
Well, you feel for a click. If you're turning a key or something like that, you go for a click.
I think he's distracted. He's looking somewhere else. He's distracted. I don't think he just sort of, like Hamish says, he just sort of goes like that.
Yeah, but like I've never closed my front door like almost but except a bit, no matter how distracted I am. And you know how people run out of the front door when they're in a hurry.
I don't see what... I'm not sure what you're saying exactly there.
Mm. I get what you're saying,
and I understand, yeah, you feel for the click. But you're just compiling more evidence against Prax by saying that he didn't even feel for the click.
That's what I'm saying is that there probably isn't a click on the thing, and it should have been a click on the thing.
But you don't know that. I think there is. There you go.
There must be a click.
Well, there should be a click.
Click gates.
What you're saying is he didn't even test to feel for a click. By your own evidence, you're saying that, you know, he should have done.
If this is the first time he's closed that panel door,
I bet he's worked on these panels on Ganymede loads, but because he's in space and he's not used to things shaking and moving around at high G, he's just gone, fuck it, that'll do.
He's not used to being...
It is a fuck it, that'll do situation. Yeah. I can see it in his face, I can see it in the way he pushes it with his hand. it's just... What's the word I'm looking for? not laziness, but you know, like
apathy. Oh God. Is it like a word that a head teacher would use?
Yes, probably.
Slapdash. That's what I always got called.
Yeah, there you go.
I always got called slapdash. So I'm very
slapdash.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah.
That's a proper church school.
But Amos is watching him.
So Amos. We have to blame Amos at the end of the day.
Unbelievable. Can't believe Amos did that.
I mean, I'm still gonna think that it's like probably a badly designed.
It's badly designed, yeah. It's undeniable.
Because the thing is, it would need to be flush. Like
what bothered me on rewatching it is he pushes the whole assemblage into itself.
Yeah, I did see it, and this is on recording, so I can't go back on it. But I did see it. I didn't think it was hinged. I thought it was just a panel that he pushed in.
It should lock at that point. That's where it should lock. Yeah, and then you do something
I'll give you that it should have a lock once it's pushed in. Yeah.
But it's for dramatic, whatever. They wanted things flying around so that
And to be honest, I thought this was a little bit like what's the term?
Sexy.
Just put in erotic? For a bit of peril.
Yeah, it was. I mean, at the end of the day, we're arguing about something that was just a MacGuffin. It was a MacGuffin.
Oh, sorry, Hamish. You disappeared.
Disappeared for a second there. So yeah. MacGuffin
that
was
peril. That peril itself wasn't purposeless because it does deepen Prax and Amos's relationship.
But it was kind of chucked together the mechanics of it were chucked together, quite literally.
So who would be best equipped to answer whose fault it was? Any High Court judges watching?
You're all cunts, by the way.
Health and safety experts?
Health and safety experts, yeah.
Or engineers who design catches.
I think we're broadly agreed on the thing should be...
At the end of the day, you're right about that. But on that, given the lock analogy... There are locks that don't click in place automatically still.
Mm. Yeah, but I'd assume that
they're usually double locks, like, so they're usually the secondary lock, you know.
Some locks should default to unlock, and some locks should default to lock, depending on their use case. You've got to use the right lock for the right thing. It's like in my local leisure centre, when the power goes out, all the doors unlock so that people can get out.
Danny's house has a door that is opened by, I think, fobs. Or something like some electronic mechanism, and when the power goes out, it's locked.
There's no fail-safe. I believe.
Yeah, there's no when the power goes out.
Not even a mechanical handle, a physical handle you can override it with.
Nope.
Well, that is bad design.
I think I checked with Danny. That's the way it works.
But hello, Danny. By the way, you're in this episode, and we've also lack of safety in your house.
Using electricity to open a door? Why are we using electricity for things that we've never fucking... You know what I mean?
It's like inserting AI into everything.
Yeah, I've always been like... I was always fascinated with electronic locks and things like that. But it's not something I would do in practical terms for reasons like that one, for example. Mm.
I mean, solenoids are cool, but you don't have to use them on everything.
Yeah, and certainly not without a fail-safe. Like, I think, isn't it the Cybertruck that has certain things, like certain electronic bits and pieces that don't have a mechanical fail-safe?
Yeah. Probably. Something. I think if... Yeah,
you
if
need to be a
power,
fucking moron to buy one, though.
Yeah. Anyway, I think we're done. I think we are circling the drain at this point.
Okay.
Quite literally.
Let's go down it.
Let's put this podcast out of its misery.